If somebody asked you what the deadliest mountain in the world is, your first thought would probably wander to ones that are obviously very dangerous, like Mount Everest. Or maybe even K2 if you're familiar with the world's second tallest mountain's brutal reputation. If you were limited to answering the deadliest mountain in the United States, you might think of examples like Denali in Alaska, Mount Rainier in Washington, or Mount Hood in Oregon. All of these mountains indeed have infamous reputations, and they all look extremely intimidating as well. That's probably, at least partially, why you've actually heard about them. But what if I told you that instead, the deadliest mountain in America, and indeed the deadliest mountain in the entire world, isn't actually any of these, but is rather a much, much smaller and unassuming-looking mountain in New Hampshire that you've maybe never even heard about if you're not from around here, that's called Mount Washington. With a total elevation of 6,288 feet above sea level, Mount Washington is the tallest summit that can be found anywhere in New England, and more broadly, anywhere in the entire northeast region of the United States. Nonetheless, when compared to the elevations of mountains elsewhere across the western U.S., Mount Washington appears as basically a dwarf mountain. Despite being the tallest mountain in the Northeast, it is only the 550th tallest mountain nationwide, with literally hundreds of mountains taller than it dotted all across states west of the Mississippi, across the Rockies, the Sierra Nevada, and the Cascades. In fact, it's less than half the height of dozens of mountains found across Colorado and Alaska. And yet, it has claimed more people's lives than nearly all of them anyway. Since 1948, more than 32 people have died on Mount Washington due to a combination of falls, avalanches, and hypothermia. More than every other mountain in the United States other than Denali, Mount Rainier, and Mount Hood. Mount Washington is tied for the fourth highest number of deaths on any mountain in the country, tied with Grand Teton in Wyoming. And of course, the principal attribute of Mount Washington that sets it apart from all of these other deadly mountains is its dramatically shorter height. Mount Washington is less than a third the height of Denali, and is roughly half the height of Mount Rainier, Mount Hood, and Grand Teton, despite having the same number of fatalities since 1948 as the latter. Since modern record-keeping began a century before that in 1848, more than 160 people are known to have lost their lives on Mount Washington. Adjusted for the number of deaths per foot of vertical climb, Mount Washington becomes not only the deadliest mountain in America, but the deadliest mountain anywhere in the world. A fact that becomes all the more strange when you realize that you can simply drive a car or take a train all the way up to the summit. Unlike any of these other super deadly mountains that are dramatically taller than it, where the only way up is basically to climb. This is, in a sense, precisely what makes Mount Washington so deadly. The fact that it simply doesn't appear to be deadly like all of the other mountains do on the list of deadliest mountains. Denali is in an extremely remote location in rural Alaska that isn't connected to any roads. You basically have to charter a plane just to fly you to Denali's base camp. And climbing up from there and back again often takes weeks to accomplish through massive glaciers and crevasse fields that are apparent from miles away before you even get there. Mount Rainier is similarly covered in glaciers, full of cavernous crevasses that are large enough to swallow up entire houses whole that you can see from far away. While hiking up more than 10,000 vertical feet through all of that in order to reach the summit serves as too much of a deterrent for most. The kind of people who decide to climb these kinds of mountains are usually well aware of how dangerous they are, and have spent a serious amount of time and effort preparing to tackle them. Mount Washington, on the other hand, doesn't really look all that different from just about any other mountain within its range in New Hampshire, the White Mountains. There aren't any glaciers that are present to frighten people away, and unlike many of the other deadliest mountains, it's hardly in a remote location that's difficult to get to. It's only about a 3.5-hour drive from the big city of Boston to reach the parking lot at the base of the mountain, and from there, it can only take all of about 2 hours for an unprepared hiker to get in way over their heads and capabilities. The summit of Mount Washington is actually the sixth most visited mountain summit in the world, largely because of how accessible it is from major metropolitan areas like Boston. The fact that you can usually just drive or take a train all the way up to the summit, and its status as the highest peak in New England in the Northeast. But all of the other mountain summits and the top most visited are either much shorter, and therefore safer, or they're much higher, and therefore people know to prepare better. Mount Washington is basically at this weird middle sort of height, where underprepared climbers or even drivers expecting something easier might get caught off guard, especially when luck doesn't favor them. It's not really Mount Washington's height that makes it so incredibly deadly, though. It's the fact that the mountain, arguably, is the site of the worst weather that can be found anywhere on planet Earth, despite its rather unassuming-looking appearance. Let's start with wind, and explain why Mount Washington is actually the single windiest location anywhere in the world. On an afternoon day in April of 1934, researchers at the summit of Mount Washington at the Mount Washington Observatory measured a wind speed that should have been impossible. An astonishing 231 miles per hour. To put that into perspective, in order to become a Category 5 hurricane, wind speeds only need to reach 157 miles per hour. 231 miles per hour is enough to obliterate any house made out of wood, and will even cause serious structural issues to well-built houses. For decades, that measurement on the top of Mount Washington was the fastest wind speed ever measured anywhere on the Earth's surface. Until it was surpassed in 1996 by a monster tropical cyclone that clocked in at a speed of 254 miles per hour off the western coast of Australia. It is still the fastest wind speed ever measured on the Earth's surface outside of the context of a tropical cyclone or a tornado. Hurricane force winds, or wind speeds greater than 75 miles per hour, are generally observed on the summit of Mount Washington for an average of 110 days a year, or for nearly one out of every 3 days. And during the winter season, the wind speeds will be at or above hurricane force about every other day on average. The most consistently dangerously fast winds that are experienced anywhere in the world. These wicked fast winds that blow over Mount Washington are of course a frequent and significant hazard, and they happen for an interesting combination of reasons. Mount Washington, while not exactly a tall mountain compared to those out west, is still a giant in the east. Its summit is the highest geographic point for nearly 1,000 miles away in every direction. It happens to exist at almost exactly the midpoint between the North Pole and the equator, and it sits precisely at the intersection of three major weather systems from the Atlantic to its south, from the Arctic to its north and its west, and from the Gulf of Mexico to its far southwest. These three clashing weather systems bring warm, humid tropical air from the southwest, moist maritime air from the Atlantic, and cool, drier continental air from the north, all precisely to the summit of Mount Washington, where they clash and generate powerful low-pressure systems and strong pressure gradients, which drives the freak storms and extreme winds up there. Wind is usually slowed down by friction from the ground. But since Mount Washington is by far the highest point anywhere around for thousands of miles in most directions, the higher winds that strike it haven't ever been slowed down by this usual process. The overall presidential range the Mount Washington crowns in the north forms a V-shape that points directly where the cold winds blowing across southern Canada come from. As the higher winds that haven't been slowed down for thousands of miles reach the presidential range, they're suddenly forced upward and accelerate in speed through a process known as the Venturi effect, similar to how a river's velocity increases as it passes over a rapid. This, combined with a clashing of cool, dry air with warm, moist air, is what can create some of the most freakish weather on the planet up here, and going well beyond just the insane wind speeds. As you'd expect for a mountain at its elevation and its latitude, it gets pretty cold up on the summit of Mount Washington. The summit's all-time low recorded temperature was negative 50 degrees Fahrenheit back in January of 1885. A high temperature of 0 degrees Fahrenheit still occurs about 13 days a year, while low temperatures at or below 0 degrees Fahrenheit usually happens every single day between the middle of November and the start of April. Between December and March across the winter season, the temperature on the summit will only get above freezing for an average of just 15 days. Across the whole year, the average ambient temperature on the summit is just 27 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, a lot of that might not sound too bad, to be honest. But you have to remember that none of those ambient temperatures take into account the crazy fast wind speeds and the absolutely bone-shattering wind chill effect they have. To give you just an idea of how nuts this can get, consider the horror that the mountain summit experienced on the 16th of January in 2004. That day, the ambient temperature on Mount Washington summit was negative 46.3 degrees Fahrenheit or negative 42 Celsius. Already very cold, but it was also sustaining wind speeds of just over 87 miles per hour too. As a result, the wind chill value on the summit that day was a brutal negative 102.6 degrees Fahrenheit, or negative 74.7 degrees Celsius. enough to cause frostbite to exposed human tissue in under 5 minutes and lethal in as little as 30 minutes without proper Arctic survival gear. And then, somehow, even that brutal record was beaten pretty recently over the night of the 3rd to 4th of February 2023, when an ambient temperature of negative 47 degrees Fahrenheit and faster wind speeds of more than 100 miles per hour produced a new record low U.S. wind chill temperature on the mountain summit of negative 108 degrees Fahrenheit. Simply put, that is nearly as cold as the coldest surface air temperature ever recorded in history, which was measured at negative 128.6 degrees Fahrenheit in 1983 at the Vostok Station deep within the interior of Antarctica. The summit of Mount Washington can therefore literally get as cold as the depths of Antarctica can during the winter. And it is rather surprisingly the site of the coldest temperature ever measured anywhere in the United States, even beating out anywhere in Alaska. During that event in 2004, when the wind chill effect plunged the temperature down to as low as negative 102.6 degrees Fahrenheit, the wind chill never once rose to be warmer than negative 50 degrees Fahrenheit for more than 71 hours, or for nearly 3 straight days. Even throughout the summer months, temperatures can unexpectedly plunge and winter-like conditions can exist at the summit, which is the next big dangerous problem on the mountain. Due to Mount Washington's location along clashing weather patterns, its relative proximity to the Great Lakes that brings lake-effect snow along with the Canadian winds, and its relatively high elevation compared with its surroundings, Mount Washington gets a ton of snow, which is extremely unusual for its modest elevation. Mount Washington's summit will see an average of almost 97 inches of precipitation per year, the vast majority of which falls on it as snow, which is, surprisingly, even more precipitation than the summit of Mount Rainier in Washington receives, despite it being about twice as tall. Mount Washington receives by far the most snow of any mountain of its height or lower anywhere in the United States, for basically the same reasons why it's so windy up there, too. Huge volumes of snow will get picked up all along the lower Presidential Mountains and then gets blown up across Mount Washington over to its eastern side, where the snow packs and fills up deep ravines there like Tuckerman, that can sometimes reach up to 50 feet deep during the winter. In the winter and the spring, this thickly packed snow, especially in Tuckerman Ravine, can morph into an almost concrete-like layer that can easily fracture and generate avalanches, which is a major hazard for hikers and backcountry skiers all throughout the winter and spring seasons as well, many of whom might not expect such a potentially high avalanche risk for such a relatively small mountain. As recently as 2024, backcountry skiers have lost their lives because of this here in the Tuckerman Ravine by falling hundreds of feet. And as recently as 2012, a man slipped and slid down the side of Tuckerman Ravine in April and then fell into a hidden crevasse, and his body wasn't able to be recovered for 7 weeks. Others have gone missing on the mountain for years until their remains were discovered, sometimes being buried beneath dozens of feet of snow during particularly catastrophic avalanche events, while others simply wander off too far away from the road or the railroad that takes you up safely to the summit and get trapped alone up there when the weather suddenly turns for the worse. Near the summit, it can literally go from relatively nice to blizzard-like and life-threatening within minutes, while temperatures can plunge by upwards of 20 degrees just as quickly, and they're very difficult to predict. And if all of those hazards weren't enough, there's also the added concern of what is often very, very limited visibility up on the summit of Mount Washington as well. With all of the wind, storms, and precipitation that falls on Mount Washington, cloud cover up there is nearly constant all throughout most of the year. In fact, only about 50 days out of the entire year on average are clear on the summit between sunrise to sunset. Visibility conditions near the summit can and do rapidly deteriorate within minutes sometimes, just like with the temperature, including complete whiteouts and literally zero visibility where you can't even see more than a foot or two ahead of you. These poor visibility conditions, when they happen suddenly and unexpectedly, can be particularly dangerous for hikers or backcountry skiers when they're nearby massive cliffs and drop-offs like the Tuckerman Ravine, which features plunges of up to 600 feet in some locations. If you get blinded during a total whiteout up there and become disoriented on your location, it's not inconceivable to see how you might just take one wrong step into an abyss like that. Now, there's a lot of places in the world that have worse conditions in a single category than Mount Washington does. but very few of them combine all of these factors together in such an overwhelmingly negative way. The Vostok Research Station in the middle of nowhere in Antarctica might get colder than Mount Washington does, but it has nowhere near the same level of wind speeds with a yearly average of just 11 miles per hour. And it also receives virtually zero precipitation or snowfall either. Hurricane and tornado-prone areas may experience similar freak wind speeds, but they're nowhere near as frequent, and they're never in areas that get anywhere near as cold. Denali in Alaska might have a much higher summit and lower oxygen levels in a more remote location with similar visibility issues, but Denali gets virtually zero precipitation and doesn't get anywhere near as windy. And again, for the most part, Mount Washington doesn't exactly appear to be dangerous for most of the climb up it, until you get beyond the mountain's tree line. The wicked fast winds that whip across Mount Washington contribute to a very unusually short tree line at only about 4,400 feet up in elevation, with the climate any further up simply too hostile to support any plant life more than just a few inches in height. The climate also radically changes very quickly as you climb up Mount Washington. In the mountain's parking lot, you're experiencing a humid continental climate that's typical for New England. But as you move up it, you quickly transition through a subarctic climate until you reach the end of the tree line, where it immediately transitions into a tundra climate not too dissimilar from Labrador or Greenland the rest of the way up to the summit. This can often catch hikers off guard on Mount Washington, who don't expect to be going from a calm walk through the woods at the mountain's lower elevations to a potentially lethal walk through the Labrador or Greenland tundra further up beyond the tree line. The treeless upper reaches of the mountain towards the summit are fully exposed with zero cover to hide behind or take shelter in when weather conditions rapidly turn for the worse with the infamous superfast winds, whiteouts, and plunging temperatures. A total of 65 acres of Mount Washington's peak is classified as tundra terrain, which is, again, perhaps unexpectedly, the most tundra present on any mountain east of the Rockies. The potentially extreme, life-threatening danger of being exposed to the brutal elements beyond the tree line on your climb up towards the summit is not apparent to most people who climb the mountain, and it's only when you're far removed from both the tree line and the summit about halfway up that you might realize just how deep into this quiet danger zone you've gotten yourself into. While the elevation of the tree line ends at 4,400 feet above sea level, it only takes about 3 miles worth of hiking from the parking lot in order to reach it, which is notably significantly less hiking than it even takes to reach the base camp on Mount Rainier in Washington. In other words, you can reach the most dangerous zone on Mount Washington before you even reach the base camp on Mount Rainier, which is a recipe for disaster for hikers who aren't coming as well prepared as they usually do for Rainier. Near where the tree line ends on Mount Washington, the U.S. Forest Service has put up ominous signs on trails like this one, warning that the area ahead beyond the trees contains the worst weather in America, and that hikers have lost their lives to the elements out there exposed even during the summer. Then, there's also the fact that Mount Washington is actually a lot more of a climb than many people might initially expect as well. While it is only the 550th tallest mountain in the United States by elevation above sea level, Mount Washington's prominence is substantially more impressive than that. Prominence is a measurement of how much a mountain stands out relative to its surrounding terrain, and is basically the vertical distance between a mountain's summit and the lowest point you have to descend to before climbing up a higher peak. In Mount Washington's case, you have to descend from its summit all the way down to 140 feet in elevation at the Champlain Canal before journeying towards a higher peak at the Potato Knob all the way down in North Carolina. This means that nearly all of Mount Washington's sea level elevation is pure prominence, since it rises from a very low elevation. 6,148 feet of its height is prominence, to be precise. And this gives Mount Washington, astoundingly, the 24th highest prominence of any mountain in the contiguous 48 U.S. states beyond Alaska and Hawaii, with a greater prominence than even some of the 14,000-footers out west in Colorado, like the well-known Pikes Peak. This means that despite its overall elevation being only a fraction of most mountains out west, actually hiking up Mount Washington includes a similar vertical height to them that hikers truly experience. Something that inexperienced hikers who only look at elevation values alone might not anticipate or plan for. Two might plan more seriously for a 14,000-foot mountain than a 6,000-foot mountain, without realizing that the actual vertical climb you experience on both of them will be comparable. There are just so many factors at play on Mount Washington that deceive people into underestimating its true hidden danger, only for them to end up getting trapped unprepared, exposed to the brutal, freezing, blinding, windy weather with nowhere to hide, all to either fall down off of a cliff or to succumb to hypothermia in the elements. Mount Washington's reputation to serious climbers is such that it's actually a preferred training ground for the way higher peaks up in the Himalayas like Everest and K2. Because you can experience similar weather and climatic conditions on Mount Washington as them without the added threat and danger of altitude sickness complicating things even further. And that's great and can be managed when you're prepared to face it, but it's not at all for when you're not. And there are many, many examples from history of the more than 160 recorded deaths that have taken place on it since 1848. There's an entire Wikipedia list that is specifically dedicated to all of these victims, if you'd like to go down the rabbit hole into their individual stories later. And while you're probably not planning a dangerous hike on Mount Washington, even your usage of the internet right now in the safety of your own home can still be dangerous. And a great way to add a layer of security to whatever it is you do on the internet is by using a trusted VPN. Like this video's sponsor, NordVPN. With NordVPN's no logs policy, your internet service provider isn't able to see whatever it is you're searching, and neither does NordVPN, which actually gives you a true incognito viewing experience on the internet that Google's incognito mode doesn't truly provide. I especially like to use Nord whenever I'm using unfamiliar Wi-Fi networks at airports or cafes. And Nord is much more than just a VPN. I've known creator friends here on YouTube who've gotten their accounts hacked after a successful phishing attempt or a password leak. And you've maybe even seen one or two of them every so often whenever a normal channel you love suddenly becomes a crypto hype machine seemingly out of nowhere. This unfortunately happens way too often, and NordVPN's threat protection includes specific features that warn you about phishing links, along with features like a blocker for malicious ads and dark web monitoring to alert you if any of your passwords have been leaked. And of course, NordVPN also does great VPN things too. With Nord, you can safely browse the internet anonymously and your location always stays private. It enables me to set my location anywhere in the world and access all the different versions of my favorite websites. And it's the fastest working VPN on the planet that provides 24/7 customer support to help you whenever you need it, along with a 30-day money-back guarantee for all users. So, if you'd like to give NordVPN a try, scan the QR code here on your screen right now or click the link down below in the description. Every purchase of the 2-year plan will receive 4 bonus months on top, and it's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. So click or scan to get started with NordVPN today, and as always, thank you so much for watching.